My name is Tom. I'm one of the directors here in the Village. Welcome again, all of those who arrived today. And that's what I'm going to be doing right now. I'm going to be reading your names, and if you would please stand and remain standing, then we will greet you all with some applause when I'm done. First, Franny Bannon, who is from Stockholm, Wisconsin. Where is Franny? Oh, there you are. Jessica Jarvis from Seattle, Washington. Louise Johnson from Renton. Karen Carlson from Maple Grove, Minnesota. And Nathan Peterson from St. Paul, Minnesota. And that's it, I think, today, unless I missed someone. And did I miss anyone? All right, and now I would like to ask those members of the community who are going down lake tomorrow if you would please stand. I like that part. All right, let's pray together as these folks prepare to leave. Gracious God, we thank you for all of the ways you've allowed our friends to bless us here at Holden Village, to bless our conversation, our praise, our intercession, our meals. They've blessed us in so many ways with their presence. And now we send them out into the world, trusting in your care for them and thanking you for all the ways you will let them shape the word of life as they go down lake. Thank you. Amen.
Please open up with one voice to 762, please, O Day of Peace.
Good evening. Before we sing the hymn, let me say a word about what we're going to do tonight. I am Charles Lutz, and I'm privileged to be the worship leader this evening. And we're going to do a service of prayer for peace and justice in the Middle East. And so we'll begin with hymn 762, and after that, I will tell you a little more about where we're going to go. There is a psalm, number 122, that is viewed as a traditional ritual psalm for pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. It's going to be read for us by Gabriel Kyle, who I just discovered came back from Jerusalem a little over a month ago. He was there at the time that the fighting began in Lebanon and north of the North Galilee. And Gabriel is going to read Psalm 122, and then we'll talk a little bit about what that psalm means for us today. It's a psalm about the peace of Jerusalem. Gabriel.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord God, I will seek your good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This psalm, I'm told, in Hebrew, has instances of wordplay that we don't recognize in English, but wordplay particularly on Salem, the last part of the word Jerusalem, and Shalom, which is a word that we do know in English, and it means not only peace, but peace with justice, peace with harmony, peace with wholeness, peace with healing. So when we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we're also praying for the well-being and the justice of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has not always been a city of peace. James Carroll, a Roman Catholic writer, has said that Jerusalem is the epicenter of God-sponsored violence, of violence done in the name of God. And that's been true for many centuries. So we're going to do tonight some praying for peace in the Middle East, peace in the broadest sense, peace with justice, peace with wholeness, peace with harmony, and peace with unity among peoples. The psalm that Gabriel read has had very often echoes in the New Testament, in the Gospels. One example of that is in Luke 19, Jesus, it says, when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace, but now they are hid from your eyes." And we could say the same thing today, I think, about the city of Jerusalem and the land that surrounds us, the land that we call holy. When the corporate prayer of the church happens, when the people of God engage in prayer together, there are both vertical and horizontal dimensions to that. The vertical, of course, our communication with God. We speak of that metaphorically as a vertical relationship. But there's also the horizontal relationship, communication with the entire and of the entire community of gathered believers. So there's a kind of sense of the sign of the cross going on when we pray corporately. When we pray corporately for the needs of human community, there's a political character to our prayer, a political content. Political action, doing something to end world hunger, we pray for the end to hunger. That has an implication, at least, of some kind of political action, by political in the broad sense, by the community of people. Citizenship activity by believers, done prayerfully, we hope, seeking divine guidance and wisdom when we pray and when we do our political action as citizens. There's an old Latin phrase, ora et labora, which means pray and work. So our actions in worship, our prayer actions in worship, and our actions in the world are to be brought together. Ora et labora. They must connect. We seek in our praying and our action in the world common ground, not polarizing. The leadership of the Lutheran Church in Palestine has often said they do not ask that Christians or people in other parts of the world be either pro Israel or pro-Palestine, but be pro-peace and pro-justice. And so we're going to tonight pray together some prayers that I will read and that come basically out of the Middle East to us and that invite us to join them in prayer. After each petition, I will say, "And let God's people say," and I ask you to respond with, "Amen, may it be so." So the Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, let us pray not for Arab or Jew, not for Palestinian or Israeli, but let us pray rather for ourselves, that we might not divide them in our prayers, but keep them both together in our hearts. And let God's people say,
"Amen." So.
That's a prayer that I discovered in the narthex of St. George's Cathedral, the Episcopal Cathedral in Jerusalem, and it's obviously there for, and I assume used for, in the hearing of international visitors, which they have many of. It's for people who are not themselves Arab or Jew, Palestinian or Israeli, but people who are there visiting. And I like it because it says we need, when we pray for peace in that land, to lift up and keep in our hearts together both Palestinians and Israelis and not divide them. The next prayers, these are actually on a website that you can access, provided by a U.S. group called Peaceful Ends Through Peaceful Means. And this is a coalitional group of church folk out of the Churches for Middle East Peace Consortium. And these are samples of the prayers that are available there, and they're really provided for use in corporate worship in the churches of America. Blessed Jesus, lifting up the Holy Land for all humankind, breathe love into our prayers with a desire for nothing other than peace. Peace in our hearts, peace for all creation, and especially peace in the land that is called holy. And let God's people say,
Amen.
God of hope, we lift up the city of Jerusalem, distracted and divided, yet still filled with promise, as are all the cities of the world. Jesus, ride again into our cities, our temples, our upper rooms, and our Gethsemanes, that we may be given sight to recognize you. And let God's people say,
Amen.
God of mercy, even as we long to understand that which is often beyond our comprehension, we lay before you the hearts, minds, and bodies of all those suffering from conflict in Palestine and Israel. Shower upon all holy people of the Holy Land the spirit of justice and reconciliation, and let God's people say,
Amen.
And then a prayer that comes from the students and faculty at Bethlehem Bible College. This is a school in the city of Bethlehem, the little town of Bethlehem, operated by and for Christians. And these petitions came in the year 2004, when Bethlehem felt that it was suffering particularly from the military incursion of the Israelis and from the occupation, and was suffering economically from the loss of tourists, from the loss of pilgrimage. Pray that God will lift the cloud of depression. Pray that the people in their distress will look up to him as their only provider. Pray for the restoration of our economy, especially tourism, on which the town almost totally depends. Pray that God will give ideas to business people and entrepreneurs for projects that do not rely totally on tourism. Pray that God will give them the resources and the ability to carry out these projects. Pray for a good season of rain and for abundance, that the trees will produce enough to meet the need. And pray for the wall to tumble down and to be dismantled peacefully. And let God's people say, the last two prayers come from a group also within the United States called the National Interreligious Initiative for Peace in the Middle East. This is a tri-faith approach with religious leaders of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity together, not only offering prayers, but also doing lobbying with the United States government, and doing conversations all across America in various metropolitan areas among the three faith traditions on the issues of justice and peace in the Middle East. Incidentally, I should say in this part of the world that the staff director of the National Interreligious Initiative is Ron Young, who lives and works in Seattle, and who happens to be married to an ELCA pastor named Carol Jensen. Some of you may know Carol and Ron. One of the prayers is from a Muslim imam, Abdel Wahab Heshe, I think that's how it's pronounced, in Tampa, Florida. Almighty God, after almost a century of mistrust and fratricide, you inspire Jews, Christians, and Muslims to take the path of reconciliation in the Middle East. We ask for your forgiveness, O God, yet we find it hard to forgive past enemies. May your words touch those who still stray in the wilderness of vengeful violence, forgetting your command to forgive and overlook till God accomplish his purpose. For God hath power over all things. And let God's people say, The other one comes from Rabbi Herbert Bronstein of Glencoe, Illinois. Sustain together in undiminished hope, O God of hope, those who continue to labor with undiminished determination to build peace in the land from which of old, out of brokenness, violence, and destruction, nevertheless, hope emerged for so many of faith. Bless all the spiritual seed of Abraham, together with the light of your presence. For in the light of your presence, we have found a way of justice and mercy and a vision of peace. We praise you, O God, giver of peace, who commands us to peace. And let God's people say,
Amen.
Now let us turn to, with one voice, number 763. One announcement. After the conclusion of Vespers, actually I think at 8:45 it's scheduled, there will be a forum in Koinonia on the question, is there any hope for peace in the Holy Land? And some people who have had experience living and working there will be talking about that issue, but the conversation we hope will be primarily among all of us in the group that is gathered. A word of benediction. Go now in your baptismal calling, which appoints you to work for justice and peace in all the earth.
Amen. And I need to say, stay now, because what we have is a surprise. A little traveling music, please. Hello, I'm Marco, former Holden Cook, back here for the Lilly Convocation, which this week has been looking at Holden as a mentoring community for young adults, among other things. Now, Holden has been and always a great place for many things. Tonight, I invite you to celebrate Holden for the next few minutes with me as a great place to pick up chicks. Actually, my original text says a place for some to find true love. Among the two we would like to lift up tonight are two who first found each other in the summer of 1973. I was there. I was a cook in the Holden kitchen, along with my head cook, Paul Hinderly, and I was among those who witnessed the first conversations between Paul Hinderly and Carol Lund. During that winter, my friends, I watched Paul deteriorate into a blubbering mass that could only finally find healing while in the solace of his, in the arms of his one true love, namely Carol. So he went out a number of times for this relationship to be nurtured. And then the next summer, when Carol came back, it was on August 17th, 32 years ago, that I, among maybe a couple other people here, saw these two wed. In fact, I took the photograph that's on the card that we're going to present to them tonight. So tonight, for the next few minutes, we're going to celebrate their anniversary. And there they are back there with... Come along. Yes, with cake, with card, with flowers, with song, and garland, and with a room full of love as we celebrate your marriage. Will be playing the alpine horn, and we invite you to sing along with us, especially on the chorus of this song. Some of you will recognize it, the tune from The Happy Wanderer. And the chorus will be anniversary, anniversara, anniversary, anniversara, ha 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 ha, hinderly, lunderly, 30 years ago plus two. And we have cake for everyone, lovingly prepared by the current kitchen staff. So we thank them for that. And we will be bringing that out right...
Okay, so we really thought it would be fun. In the tradition of many years ago, we would just have these big parties in the village center. Everything would happen here. And in the winter, many things were shut down. So this was volleyball, dance, everything. So our great musicians have decided that they'd provide some of that fun music that we had last night. I have to admit, the cake is on the altar, but many of the people with the convocation have kindly said that they would help serve it. But of course, you know, we can't serve you guys all that fast. So enjoy yourself dancing, listening to the music, and the only thing we ask is that you'd eat every little crumb off your plate, and maybe you could even bring it to the dish window when you're done. That would be just awesome. So have a great time, enjoy the music, have some cake. If it's too long of a wait, you know, like dance in the streets and come back. So happy anniversary, Carol.
Thank you.